This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was a thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for you, for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So I wanted to say thank you all for having us out here. I am Chaplain Ben. I'm the lesser half of the chaplain at WVU at our Lutheran Campus Ministry. This is the better half of the chaplaincy. This is my wife, Courtney, and you see our two kids, Charlie, who's up here, and then Alice is back there with the other gaggle of children. So we're just glad to be here. One of the things I was amazed about last night was I knew we were in Columbus. I mean, that's where we're staying. And so I thought, oh my gosh, there's like 4+ lanes of traffic. Like, this is nuts. And so coming there, and then we came to this church, and I was expecting a suburb, something like that. You hit the country roads, and I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly where I need to be after 4-lane highways, you know. So we really appreciate you all having us out. It's really wonderful being in Ohio and just seeing what's going on here, seeing what the Lutheran faith, what the kingdom of God looks like right here. Where you guys are. So I wanted to start off to ask, is anyone doing Lenten disciplines this Lent? And you don't have to share, but if you raise your hand. Hey, some here, a little bit. So when I was a kid, I was thinking about this, like when Lent came about, I always thought, okay, what is something that I can achieve? Like what is it that I can do over these 40 days? Because if it were a year, you know, some of this stuff would be out of the question. You know, I'm not giving up chocolate or soda for a year. That ain't going to happen. But, you know, 40 days, that's doable. So when I was a kid, I can remember I'd always say, okay, I can do chocolate 40 days. That's not a big deal. And then I thought, well, you know, I want to be a little bit more faithful. Let me try to see if I can give up soda for 40 days. And that was a little more difficult, but, you know, I could do it. I could achieve it. I could be done with it. And so that's how I used to function when I was younger, and as I've gotten older, I've realized that my theology around Lent has not changed all too much. It's still, what can I deny myself this Lent that's going to be hard enough, but not too hard, to allow me to know that, you know, I'm still faithful to God, and, you know, I'm not of this world, right? You know, all of those things, but what can I accomplish? You know, what can I actually do within these 40 days? And what I realized within all this is that this is not at all what Lent is supposed to be about. You know, I should have changed as I've gotten older. And so Courtney and I have been at the campus ministry, the Lutheran campus ministry at WVU for about 3 years. And so we got there right post-pandemic stuff, if you can remember. So it was a wild time. Pandemic, like with the church, it just decimated the campus ministry. There was nothing there. And so when Courtney and I came in, we thought, oh no, what should we expect coming into this brand new campus ministry? You know, the first mass of the semester, I thought, well, I wonder what this will be like. Should we expect a whole mess of Lutherans? Should we expect nobody? And we came back and we expected nobody to be there. You know, we just thought, they haven't had a campus ministry for years now. We're coming off pandemic. There's not going to be a soul in there except for me, Courtney, the kids, and the organist, which would have been fine, but a little sad, right? We get into Mass, our very first one, and the sanctuary had students in it. Students that we had never met before, students that we had no relationship with, and they showed up. And that was the kind of beginning to me to understand God is faithful. Whether or not you do the right things or you do enough evangelism, God continues to be faithful. And so we got in there and we had all these students. And again, I assumed, oh, you're all going to be Lutheran. This is Lutheran campus ministry, you know. And when we started to talk to the students, some of the students were Lutherans, but there was a whole mess of Roman Catholics. There's a lot of Baptists. There was a lot of non-denominational. We had it from everywhere. And then the biggest thing that we had was actually a big group of students that were self-proclaimed atheists. And so these atheists would come and they'd hang out in the basement. So we have upstairs, we have our chapel, our sanctuary, and downstairs we kind of have a hangout with a kitchen. And they would always hang out there while we worshiped. And so I thought, you know, this is kind of weird that atheists are hanging out at church, but, you know, we'll let them stay here. It's better than being at a bar or something, I guess. And so they would hang out there, and they'd join us for dinner after Mass. And then after the second year, they started to come to a few more worship things. And this year, we have a group of self-proclaimed atheists coming up to worship with us in the sanctuary. And so whenever we were there, it was a very different experience with preaching. So we got into Lent our first year, and I get up there, and I'm still in parish mode. Like, you know, I've been doing this for a while. And I got up and I said, all right, y'all, you know what Lent is. And I just got, like, people were just like, you know, deer in headlights kind of look. And I was like, oh, these guys don't know a thing about what Lent is. This is probably new to them. And so I had to scrap my whole sermon and we just did this thing on Lent. And I talked to him. I said, you know, it's about denying yourself. It's about penance. It's about all the different spiritual disciplines. And what I realized is that these students were in a very different spot than where I was. These students had already given up a lot of the things that we are supposed to give up. You know, these students had given up the trauma that they had experienced through their individual churches, whatever that might be. You know, you need to live better. You need to live differently. You're not faithful enough. They let go of that trauma. They said, we don't want anything to do with that. They've seen what the church has done in the world, and they said, we don't want any of that. And finally, I said, why are you guys here then? Why are you in this church? And they said, you don't tell us that we're going to hell, like a lot of these pastors that come on campus. You're not ones that say you're wrong and you need to change. They said, all you guys want to do is worship God the best way that we possibly can. And so that's why we're here. And that's what made me realize what Lent truly is about. Just like the Lenten season, just like the confession and forgiveness, which was beautiful, by the way, the confession and forgiveness, it's not to say how bad you are. It's not to say, oh, I'm such a sinful person, look how terrible I am. Lent isn't about I can deny myself so much so that I can show how faithful I am to myself or others. But it's to show forth how great God's love is. That we can sin constantly. That we can deny ourselves and still sin and still fall short of the glory of God. And God still loves us. God loves us so much that he comes down and he goes straight to the cross for you. That's what Lent is about. Lent is not about us looking bad at ourselves. So one of the things that we talk about with our students is that in church, why we're in church is we're reminded. When we come to church, we're reminded of who God is. Again, a loving God that loves unconditionally. Because as soon as our students walk out these doors, we're going to be entering the world. And what the world says is the law, which is, if you are faithful enough, things would be a little bit better. You know, if you could just live a little bit, you know, better, a little bit more faithfully, then you know, your life would be good, your family would be good. You know, if you just live differently, you know, there wouldn't be so many problems. If you're able to just pick yourself up and do good for yourself, this world would be a better place. And yet what we see is brokenness, we see failure, and we experience that as well. And so when we come to church, we're reminded that you have been claimed by God in baptism. In baptism, God reached down and said, you are mine no matter what, and there's no power or principality in this world that will be able to take you from me. God reminds you in here that he loves you unconditionally, with no condition. That means there's no way we can receive less or more of God's love. God loves you unconditionally. And he meets us here at the table. Jesus meets us in body and blood because he knows, the Creator knows, that this world is going to be difficult. The Creator knows that there's suffering, that there's sin, that there's brokenness, that there's hurt in our world. And Jesus says, I'm going to pick you guys up. I'm going to give you the strength and the faith to go out. Because the other aspect of this is that you are called. You're not called just to be a good Christian. You're not called just to go to church. You are called to bring the kingdom of God here right now. You are called as Jesus' disciples to bring the kingdom of God in this community, at your church, at your work, and especially within your family. You are claimed, you are loved, and you are called to something great. Remember as we leave here, as we go out in our week, no matter if you are doing spiritual disciplines or not, whether you're doing well at your spiritual disciplines or you seem to be failing, you've had your chocolate, right? God's got us, always and forever. Amen.